Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM HD2. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. It's our program about eating, dining out, dining in. Anything else that's along those lines, that's what we do around here. We'd love to hear from you about whatever manifestations you have of that, about the cooking you have done, about the restaurants you've been to, the wines you've enjoyed, and, you know, all of it is wide open for you on our program coming to you live on 105.3 FM HD2. And let's see, where do we head from this? In the first hour of our program, we put forth this question, hoping that we would get a few answers on it, and we've gotten exactly that, a few answers on it. But I think there's something to be said about this, so I'm going to say it again, and that is, can you name, and you can pick any number of this you want, the restaurateurs that you find the nicest, the most enjoyable, nice people who run really good restaurants. There are plenty of them out there. The hospitality that the business puts forth is what it makes its money on. So there they are. So we have that. What are the restaurants, people in particular, that you think do a really nice job that make you make yourself weary and even wanting to hang out with some of these great waiters? And
Tom's not giving up on this, so call us, please.
Anyway, so we've got that out, and there was one other thing I wanted to. Oh yeah, we have something that it just came from out of nowhere, really. The Foodio. What, we don't know what it is or why you should care, but the Foodio is on the way, some kind of way. Today are two small places in Arkansas whose names are both Strawberry. They are giving you new ways to get strawberries, I guess.
I'm reading this thing you have, Music to Make Toast By. Toast is one of your favorite things in the whole world, isn't it?
I do like toast.
Toast and jam. That is how Tom eats.
Toast and jam. Yep.
Tom eats toast and jam.
Yeah.
Every day.
No.
All day.
Not every day, not all day.
Except for dinner.
For dinner? Not often for dinner.
You don't need it for dinner. Yeah.
It's a breakfast thing. Really.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Tom loves his toast and jam.
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
About that.
I know. That's what this is about.
Bread and butter.
What? Dan, who's on the phone?
Pam.
Okay.
Pam, welcome to the Food Show. I always enjoy using your spray touch.
Is this our cruising Pam?
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
Hi there. How are you?
Welcome.
Hi. I'm good. I just wanted to nominate the Wong brothers. I loved them. They're very nice people.
We had a dinner there about 3-4 days ago, and it was wonderful. Those guys are much, much better than I think most people give them credit for. This is the Trey Yen brothers. Trey Yen, as you know, is in Mandeville.
Do you miss, I know you miss the one in Hammond. Do you come to Mandeville?
The one in Hammond? No, I never did go to the, I don't think
I'm
ever
talking
set,
to Pam, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I do miss it because it was only a few blocks from my house, but I make it over there about once a month because I miss them and their food. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, Frank is usually traveling. So Tommy's the one that we see, but we saw Joe this time, and it was really nice to see him.
Yeah, a lot of fun with the whole bunch of them, really, and the food was, I've been eating that place since they opened, and I don't ever remember it being as good as it is right now, with the possible exception of an Eat Club dinner we did there once a long time ago.
Did you go to that, Pam?
Huh?
No, I didn't make it to that one. I've been to ones in New Orleans, everything. But yeah. No. And the last one I think I went to was up in
Boston.
Potatoes on the North Shore. So that was very nice. Uh-huh. Very nice.
Okay.
And he's nice too. So anyway.
Yeah. Oh, he's really, really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
The trips to Trey Yen, we have so many family memories about Trey Yen that after Katrina, when our family did sort of that paint can thing where it just shattered in all directions, I didn't want to go to any place that reminded me of the good old days. And it's been a long time since I've been to Trey Yen. So we went about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I decided, okay, I can be here and do this if I don't order the things that we used to order.
Like?
So we ordered, this time we ordered the Warshu Op, the duck. Do you like duck, Pam?
Theirs is really good.
It
theirs.
Is good.
I don't eat duck much. I don't eat it at most places, but.
Yeah, theirs is good, though. There's actually a couple of really good ducks around, and if I see a duck and it's the right way that it's done, like I don't like the fanned out duck breast, but we had the Warshu Op, which was really, really good, with a Tong Cho sauce. And then I thought, you know what, I could definitely go back here again. So we went back just over the weekend, last weekend, with Mary Lee, who was having a time warp because she was ordering all the things that she used to order. And instead of it being really sad, it was really fun. So I guess we're going to go back a lot more now.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of good food to be had there.
There's a lot of great food to be there had there, for sure.
Yeah.
We had someone was asking us about fast food earlier in this show, and I said I use restaurants that are not meant for fast food for fast food. There was a time when the kids were in school, when we were driving them back and forth to school, where we would stop at Trey Yen probably twice a week and pick up fried rice. And that was kind of like our version of fast food, but it was much better than fast food, of course.
Yes.
Anyway, thank you for calling.
Okay. Y'all have a good day. All right.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. It's the Food Show.
260-6368 is the number. Tom is determined to get more entries into the popularity contest of favorite people in the restaurant business.
Which one would yours be?
I gave you like 5 or 6 of them.
Oh, give me one more so I can remember it. It's been a very hectic day today.
Well, I gave you Charles Carter was the most
Charles
recent
Carter,
one.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I gave you Scott Craig, Duke, Chef Andrea, Danny Millen, Richard Hughes. That's all I can think of right now.
Well, they'll come along.
That's a pretty good bunch, I would say. And I love the Wongs, too. I'm glad she said that. 260-6368. So back to this bread and butter thing. The song is kind of lewd, apparently, according to what you're saying. I'm not familiar with any of this stuff. So
the music or the...
Well, I'm familiar with bread and butter.
Oh, that's a good start.
But
I like bread and butter.
But
I like toast and chip. I don't know it very well.
Okay. Well, anyway, I think Tom is probably implying something that's not really there. But anyway, bread and butter. I remember Mary Lee, when she was little, was eating crackers and butter. She had a crackers and butter phase. And we would order her $20 worth of food. And then she would say, you know, there's just nothing I like better than bread and butter. I said, I wish you would have said that before we ordered you an entree. But yes, it's true. If you get really good bread and really good butter, it's really good.
Yeah, it can be done.
But I mean, there's
Michelle is calling us.
There's
okay.
bread that doesn't meet my standards
oh,
anymore.
Well,
that would be most bread. Let's go to Michelle.
Please
hi, Michelle.
Send us the book on which all
hi.
This is. Yeah, okay.
So
I'm sorry.
I was thinking of Horace Pfeiffer.
Oh, I love Horace Pfeiffer. Good thought.
We have to put Horace.
But his wife, too. Both of them together.
They're would also be on the list.
Absolutely.
Maybe
yeah, the Pfeiffers.
Do a couple favorite couples in the restaurant business.
Well, I tell you what. There is a series coming up on the website about that. So be on the lookout. Yeah. NoMenu.com.
And what's the name of the lady that runs the upper line? She is there every day.
Every day. She's full time.
Joanne Clevenger.
Like Joanne Clevenger. She's
Joanne Clevenger.
She has to be on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't ever see her or know her, so I don't know.
You ought to talk to her. She is very open, and every time I see her, I tell her that she ought to write her autobiography, because some of the things that she's done over the years have been just astonishing, and in a good way. And she's had some great chefs in and out of there over the years. But Upper Line, they've been open since the early 80s or maybe even the late 70s.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I was also going to suggest a topic for
the
day.
Oh, we can sure use one. Let's hear it.
Well, I was thinking you could start doing this every day. And have, like, okay, we're going to talk about red gravy, or we're going to talk about how to make the best pasta, or, you know, just something to give us something to get going.
Focus.
What do you think?
Lila, love the idea.
Well, you don't like our paint can chattering in a bunch of different directions.
No, I do not.
It's not that we don't try to get you guys started on something. It's that they just don't go for it. What?
Tom used to always have a topic.
Then he never got any calls.
Oh, no, that's a dirty thing to say.
This is the food show. Off of the other radio station.
Oh, you mean the real one? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, for sure.
That was the demise of the caller.
Yes.
And I just got a new car with HD radio in it.
Oh, good for you. They're not expensive, but they sound great.
That's what we need to get. Everybody go out and buy a new car. Go ahead. What?
It came with the car.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Now I can listen to
me.
Tom again.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
If you want to be part of Foodio, you have to go buy a new car.
Yeah.
Okay. I love my new car.
Good.
And what else did I want to tell you? I cooked a turkey on the barbecue pit in a pan this weekend.
And?
You put
and
a what?
Turkey.
A turkey. Oh, a turkey. Okay.
And I soaked it with apple wood. Just a little. I don't like a lot of smoke. And it really came out delicious.
It came out good. Oh, so you liked it. It worked out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Delicious. Yeah.
Was it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Is it? Is this?
Right. We have to let Michelle go because we have too many.
Yeah.
It's like
you're right. Call us again. We always
Thank you, Michelle.
Time.
All right, let's go to Tom.
Tom, nice hearing from you. Come on in.
Tom.
Yes, Tom, that's me.
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Chef John Foltz. I assume he's still.
Love him.
He's always there, and he's on top of everything, and he is a champion for Louisiana culinary matters.
Yeah,
it's
going to
sound scary, but it's
met.
True. What?
Only two I've ever met, and Andrea, you already have.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, those are two good ones. That's for sure. John Foltz is a good one.
Hmm? These guys going to be back on the weekend?
Yeah.
Doubtful. It's football season now.
There's a little of that. But, you know, one of the great things about having these other TV shows going on during seasons is that not everybody can read all the things there at the same time. So you get a little bit of it anyway. Alan.
Let's go to Alan. Thank you, Tom.
Come on.
Alan.
Yes,
Alan, the gourmet first transplant.
Thank you. Thanks. You remembered. How kind.
Of course I
That's
did.
Great. And school is back in session, but I'm on my break, so I snuck out. But anyways, and it's great because I can listen to you on my phone and work at the same time. I do my paperwork. Anyways, the lady before me or before the gentleman who wants you to stay on a topic every day, she'll be happy with this because I'm also sticking on topic of the nicest guys in the restaurant business.
Don't you get a little traction now, Tom? Good.
and you know these fellas, and that would be Jamil Kutab and his brother Tariq. I worked with Tariq at TJ. Andrea's. He was TJ. There you go.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
TJ.
Those are two very nice guys. Yeah. Yes.
Really nice, and his brother Jamil, who. It's funny, about a year ago, we were at the Maple Street Cafe, and I didn't know, this is crazy, but, you know, sometimes when you're on vacation and you go all these, and we were in the uptown area, and I found myself in the Maple Street Cafe, and I didn't realize it was, and I forgot that it's owned by Jamil.
That's right,
yeah. It's Jamil
and his brother, his brother TJ.
Yes, and I think his wife is working there now, too. I might be
wrong
about
and his
that.
Kids. And his kids. He has a lot of kids.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You know, I double dated with Jamil. This was, oh, goodness, when he was a young man, before he was married, obviously. Yeah. This is, well, I guess in the early 90s, I suppose. But, yeah.
For those who are just joining us on this, we're talking about the Maple Street Cafe, which we have talked about a whole lot over the years, and also the people who are there, and one funny little quality of their hours, and that is that if you want to eat there on Labor Day, you're out of luck. It's the only day of the year where they close on Labor Day, and I've never gotten an answer as to why they do.
Well, that's probably from their days with Andrea, because that's the only day that Andrea closes.
Yeah, I think he stole it from the Andrea.
How do you know those guys to
Very
know
well.
Their origins? Like, do you know how they came here? Because they're from Jordan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. They're Jordanian.
That's the whole
that's
story.
True.
And very reliable, and their food, really, what always gets me is that this is impossible. This can't possibly be this cheap.
Alan, I'm sorry.
But it's great. It's just great, consistently.
Okay, Doug's saying we have to take a break. Alan, do you know the answer to that question? Do you know how they came here?
Do I know about what? Excuse me?
Do you know how they came here? How did they come here from Jordan?
I know. I think TJ came first.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
Not that much about. No,
I'm curious.
No.
I'm going to ask Jamil the next time I talk to him. 260-6368 is the number. Thank you, Alan. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello. Welcome back. It's The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. It went up to 100 degrees today, and you certainly want to get out of that if you possibly can do so. So we invite you to think about what you might have for dinner tonight or how you would start off by making a nice cold cocktail or whatever would move you. So if you want to get some ideas from people who love doing this on a regular basis, call us. Our telephone number is 260-6368. That'll work for you all the time. You're always welcome to come on the show and tell us and ask us about just about anything.
I think we have another caller. Do we, Doug? They left. Okay.
So they
call us back if you would like to get back on. 260-6368 is the number. Tom has had a lot of success with his subject today. Congratulations.
Pretty good. What do you
need
think?
Another hand?
Sure. Go right ahead. That was a pound. Anyway,
a little lackluster, I have to say.
So we've
nicest people in the restaurant business. Yeah. Your favorite, most hospitable, not restaurateurs necessarily, but anyone that you know in the restaurant business that you really, really like.
Yeah. So just give me a name. You don't have to give me a long diatribe about it. Although if you want to, we can take that too. In fact, I'd
love
to hear.
Really, the right word is it?
Well, yeah, probably not. So excuse me. For
Mr. Greek, that's not really the right word. Yeah. All right, so let's see. We were talking about all kinds of things as usual, and I have to disagree with Michelle, I think. Was it Michelle?
Yeah. I don't know. What did she have to say?
Was it Michelle? I'm not sure who it was that said that. But
the Beatles, they had it for a while.
We just follow the topics where they go.
Yeah.
Yes. And so sometimes they take off and sometimes they don't. I'm very happy for you, Tom, that yours is taking off right now. And people are calling in. And some of the names that we have so far is John Foles. Oh, I forgot Tommy Satanovich. I mentioned him earlier.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I mentioned him earlier.
That should have been number one on the list.
Well, I said he was in my first tier of people. I said Andrea, and then Tommy, and Scott Craig, and Duke LeCicero. And then I'm trying to think of other ones. You said it didn't have to be a restaurateur, so then I said Charles Carter. And then John Foles just came in, and that's absolutely an obvious one for sure.
Yep. He's on top of everything and keeps showing off what can be done in Louisiana.
But TJ and Jameel were sort of a surprise to hear because they kind of keep a low profile.
Yeah. That's,
they keep a very low profile.
Low profile.
Those guys have been around doing really great food for probably almost 30 years, huh?
That's true. That's I couldn't tell you if that's exactly accurate, but it's pretty
close
to it.
It's been a really long time. And
you know where they started? You probably do.
Andrea's.
Yeah, they started at Andrea's in two different ways. And
they're good sons, too. They go visit their mama in Jordan every year for like a month or longer. Yeah. And it's just a close family. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. I was trying to get something going with the bread and butter song. Favorite
bread and butter song?
Yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah. I like
I like breads around town. I would like to hear about some other people's. Oh, there we go.
Here it is. We got it.
Doug knows how to do it.
I love those screaming voices, don't you?
I'm surprised you're not in there too, Tom.
Not my bag.
Really? I've heard you do. I've heard you stoop lower.
Me? Never. Never would I stoop.
Anyway, bread. Do you like bread around town? What's your favorite place? What's your favorite bread basket? I was thinking we were talking about somebody mentioned impastados. That's a great bread.
That was on my mind as my nominee.
Number one?
That.
That's your number one?
It's Italian bread. Comes to the table hot with butter and garlic, and it is really, really good. I can't stop eating it.
Oh, other bread. Speaking of Italian bread. Well, I've never seen the garlic version that you're talking about. The only time I've ever seen it in impastados is when it comes toasty with the sesame seeds on the little braided loaf.
That's it.
With butter, but it's not garlic butter or anything. It's just butter.
Yeah, well,
now, Commander's has a good one. Commander's has their garlic bread, but that's just like basic French bread with garlic and butter and herbs and dill. They have dill in theirs and also Parmesan cheese. I forgot to feed my puppy today. That's why he keeps coming in here. He's trying to tell me I forgot to feed him today. Let's see, other breads. I love the Epi breads at Broussard's. Yes, the Epi breads. Epi breads in general.
At where?
At Broussard's, they have Epi Broussard's breads.
And these
they
those
have
ones that look
like they were dropped, just like dropped. Like a half a braid, and you got tired of braiding it, and there it is.
What's the name of that again? Wait,
Epi.
Epi, that's
Epi
it.
Epi breads, yes.
Do you know what he's talking about? No.
Epi breads, yes. Anyway,
I love the bread.
Broussard's has Epi breads. I first saw Epi breads at my favorite restaurant in the world, Bottega Louie. Let's see, who else? Justine has the Epi breads, but Justine's bread, I think both of these breads are being made from Bellegarde.
Yeah.
But one of them is a white and one of them is a wheat.
I get it.
And Justine has the wheat and Broussard's has the white. So those are really favorite breads around town. You know, there used to be, I think the best bread basket I ever saw was at Smith and Walensky.
Smith and Walensky, what was their bread like?
It was a basket full of stuff. Does anybody remember Smith and Walensky's bread basket? It was full of different kinds of bread, one of which was a lavash cracker.
Yeah, which is
and it was
the flattened
just really, really great.
Yeah.
They have that same kind of thing at Spago in L.A. They have three or four different kinds of breads that they make in-house every day. One's like a tomato croissant, and they have olive breads and pumpkin seed breads, and they bring it in this big basket, and lavash cracker is always among it, and it's so good, so, so good. Anybody have any bread baskets where they just places that you might go just to get their bread basket? Not very many of those anymore.
They move at Commander's Palace, bringing them back up again. When they go there, and once you're seated at your table, they bring you out these little crescents. Actually, there's nothing little about them. Crescents of their regular French bread, but put into that ever-loving crescent shape again. And for a while, they were moving so much of that in and out of the kitchen. It was really getting to be a logistical problem. And Dick Brennan Sr., who is no longer with us, but his memory is, certainly with me it is, he invented this sort of a tray table, and he had a hook to it on each of the four corners. And when it was time to start toasting the garlic bread for Commanders, they would load it up on that shelf there, and they would pull it up with a lever. It's more like along a circular so you pull this up, and then it goes all the way up to the top, which they keep very clean. And then when it's time to put out some more...
it's like those kind of toasters like you see in Europe, where you just kind of put the bagel in, it just goes, and then it comes back down again. And then if you need it toasted twice, you put it back in again, and it comes back down.
Yeah.
Anyway, breads. I guess nobody wants to talk about breads.
Oh, I do.
Bread is wonderful, though. If you get a good bread, it's really great.
You cannot stop
eating. We just went to Keith Young's, as we mentioned earlier, and Keith has changed his bread. And everybody really likes it. It does not clear my threshold for bread that must be eaten.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people feel that way.
Impastato's does not even clear my threshold for bread that
really
must be eaten. No, there are breads that must be eaten. Okay? Those are the epi breads.
Yeah.
The epi breads have to be eaten. And that's kind of it. Any kind of Bellegarde. If you're doing Bellegarde, I'm going to eat your bread. That's it.
That's a threat.
And I sometimes succumb to the temptation to eat the bread that Impastato's has, which you can get yourself if you're a lover of the Impastato's bread loaf. Angelo's Bakery is where they get that. And Angelo's does gobs and gobs of those delicious little loaves. But they close at noon, and they are tucked away on Elise at West Metairie, back in that shopping center. And it's right there by the Domino's. So if you must get Impastato's bread, not at Impastato's, Angelo's Bakery is where you will find it. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2. Tom is on the phone. That's Doug's way of saying Tom.
Yeah. Well, let me just draw this out. I'm asking you for people who work in the restaurant business that you find really friendly and just great to be with.
Yes, let's go to Tom.
All right, now another guy named Tom, my being one of them, and he has as much right to, well, maybe he doesn't. I don't know, I'll have to look into this. Maybe there is something I can get out of this. Tom, welcome to the food show.
Yeah, well, I wanted to comment on the bread. It's been a long time. It's probably might have been 25 or 30 years ago, but at Nina Buck's restaurant, they had some kind of bread that I just couldn't quit eating.
Nina Buck?
Who is that?
George Buck's wife.
Who's George Buck?
You know who George Buck is, the jazz guy.
What was the name of the restaurant?
That's what I can't remember, but it's right there in the same building, right across from the flea market. And his wife, Nina Buck, that was her.
I know that you know him, Tom, because you've talked about him before.
I have?
Yes. Wasn't he blind or something? Was he blind, maybe?
Yeah, he was blind. He died a few years ago.
Yeah, not very long ago.
He was an expert on New Orleans traditional jazz and music and jazz.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do remember.
What was the name of the restaurant, Tom? Because I know he was affiliated with a restaurant.
He was into radio, too.
Yeah, I know.
For WTIX at one point. Anyway,
Do you remember the name of the restaurant?
No, but I'll bet you somebody listening to us does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Peanut Buck's restaurant. And another one, now this is a chain, and it's maybe two or three blocks from Copeland's in Covington. It's a steak chain. And it's not an outstanding restaurant, but they have some good bread there. It's a dark bread, and they give you garlic butter with it. I could sit there and eat that all night.
Well, wait, you said in Copeland's and Covington, it's a chain that would be Don Seafood would be there.
Well, there are actually
do. Osaka, but that's
same side of the road as Copeland's, but off,
Copeland's
back, off
is there.
The road.
Yeah.
Huh. I think it must be Don's.
No, it's
steakhouse.
On the other side of the road.
A steakhouse, you said. I just don't know what you could be talking about. Oh, right. Outback.
Yeah, Outback.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I don't know. I've not been to Outback in forever, but you said it's really good bread?
Well, it's
probably like Cheesecake Factory. They have like a brown bread in their bread basket.
Yeah, I also wanted to make another comment about John Foltz.
Yeah.
One time when I went to his restaurant in Donaldsonville, this is the new one after the old one burned down, he took me down the street and showed me all kind of buildings that he had bought up and he was going to restore.
And does he still have them?
And, well, I haven't been back, but I assume that he probably does, but he was showing me all kinds of buildings he wanted to restore in that town.
Is this Donaldsonville?
Yeah.
Because he had, what was the name? Was it Bittersweet Plantation? Was that the name of it?
Hmm.
What was the name of his place?
I think you may have hit on it.
I think that's the current one. You remember the old one was outside of town and it burned to the ground.
I remember that.
And they took a plate out of that restaurant that was damaged on the edge, and they made all of their new china to look like that one plate.
Oh, wow. Hmm. How long ago are you talking? Because we stayed at Bittersweet Plantation 20 years ago. Is that the place that burned down? I don't know.
Well, I remember that. That was of the. There was some.
When did it burn?
Gosh,
20, 30 years.
Something like that.
I'm thinking maybe the place that we stayed is what you're talking about that burned down. I'm not sure.
I do remember it burned down. I was there and I was watching it.
Okay.
It was outside Donaldsonville. It was right. Wasn't too far off the Sunshine Bridge.
Yeah, right. That's right.
And
he moved
it into town, right in Donaldsonville, to another plantation house. Which I guess is still his current restaurant.
There is still one there, but I don't know what his involvement is. John Foltz, he does great work, and he's a real hustler when it comes to keeping the city up. But when he's done with a project, he's off, and he's on something else. And, you got to have respect for that.
I think his project right now is Revolution.
Yeah, for good reason.
He put out a bunch of books.
Yeah, his books are tomes.
He would come on and talk about Louisiana history and go to areas and talk to the people who lived there who were good cooks and then cook up the food and describe how to do it.
Yeah. Well, he's made a great career out of all that stuff.
Yeah, he certainly has.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for giving us a call. Okay, let's go to Steven. Steven.
Hey, the other day you were talking about Muriel's.
Yes.
And at one point it was the chicken coop. They had live chickens inside of it at one point after it was after it was a macaroni factory. I think
really?
It was that way before they renovated it to make it a restaurant.
Huh.
Yeah. That was indeed a factory of pasta. At the beginning of the 1900s.
When did the chicken coop thing happen?
I don't know. That was too old for me. This was the people who were involved in the in the pasta. This is
Well, that's Udo. That's Udo, but yeah. But they wouldn't have been involved with the chickens too.
You never know. This is a part of town that always was more appropriate to call them an Italian square.
Well, when did it become the Chart House? That was the Chart House was definitely a 70s phenom. So
yeah.
So I guess it maybe in the late 60s or something.
No, it wasn't that old. It was.
How long did the Chart House last in that location?
Quite a long time, and it was a spinoff of all things, Burger King.
Well, it was the same guy.
Yeah.
But definitely, I wouldn't call the Chart House a spinoff. But anyway, and then they had rallies and. I don't know what the other thing is, but anyway,
Another restaurant that makes me wonder. Okay, what's next? I just never thought too much of it, but a lot of people loved it.
What, the Chart House?
The Chart House. Yeah.
The Chart House. What was unique about the Chart House, and what is a big deal with them? And they still have a couple of locations, mostly in California.
This is the
Big Party Station.
Wait, don't tell me.
It's what?
It is.
It's what, Stephen?
Chart House was also owned Victoria Stations.
Yeah.
They're all gone
now,
by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all gone, yeah.
The last one closed in California a few years ago.
About 2 weeks ago.
No, a few years ago. Okay. All right, so Tom, we're all waiting with bated breath. What is it about the Chart House? Because I'm going to tell you what it is after you.
The service was really good, but then it was also... salads. It was a salad bar.
Salad bar. Yeah, but that's really not what it was.
Well,
I mean, that was a popular thing.
That's what made them famous.
Well, that's the reason. The ones that are still around, the Chart Houses that are still around, are around because they have a fantastic view of something. They're in a location with a fantastic view. Like, there's one... it's not Point Reyes. It's south in California, below Los Angeles. It's Laguna or thereabouts, and it's right on the ocean. And
they had a few around the country.
The one that I was talking about that brought up the subject of the Chart House was in Alexandria. It was on the Potomac. Mm-hmm. It was in a. Like a lighthouse kind of thing. So if it was and I think that the reason that the Chart House was where it is in Jackson Square in New Orleans, you know, that's a happening kind of place right there.
Yeah,
so I think the ones that lasted, the Chart Houses that are still around, are there because they had something besides a salad bar for sure.
And that
something is a view.
But I remember people used to talk about the service staff over there as being really great. One that did so was the man who owned the old coffee pot restaurant. He said, you know, I love going there just for the service. And he should have known because he was opening and ran for many, many, many years. New Orleans and Louisiana style.
I'm looking at their website. It says Chart House is famous for breathtaking views. Each of our 26 locations is truly original, from vacation destinations to architectural wonders. Whether you want to dine in the mountains of Colorado, along the Pacific Coast Highway, or in a building dating back to the country's formation in New England, that's Philadelphia, I think, we have a table waiting for you and a dining experience you can't replicate anywhere else. It's about the view, it's about the location.
Yeah.
Wherever it is, that's it.
Okay? That makes perfect sense.
And the rest of them just didn't make it because they didn't have enough to support it otherwise. So
this is the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice.
Thank you, Stephen.
Food and restaurants and cooking and anything you've got. Anybody with a thought in his or her mind or their
Dana Point, that's what I'm thinking of.
Who?
Dana Point.
Dana
in
Point.
On the Pacific Coast, Dana Point. Yes, there's also one in Monterey. That's another great place. Cardiff, of course.
Yeah.
There's one in San Francisco on the pier, Redondo Beach. So it's about the – gosh, there's one in In Lake Charles, oh, Golden Nugget Boulevard. So that would be part of the casino. So I guess there are other reasons besides great views, but for the I guess wherever they're making money would be the answer
that
to that.
Always,
whatever one is still really solvent, those are the ones we're going to keep. That makes sense. 260-6368. I love something else I'm looking at on your almanac, Tom. It is a great quote.
Yeah.
By a former restaurant critic for the New York Times, Brian Miller, and it is quite simple. Yeah. Can you read it?
Let's see.
Never eat Chinese food in Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like something I would take to heart for sure.
Very, very wise idea. Yeah,
yeah. I would say for sure. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. We're still looking for Tom's favorite people in the restaurant business
list.
People
who are hospitable and especially fun to be around.
Gosh, I know that I know more people than the ones that I've named. There are people, I mean, we see a lot of people when we go in and just talk to them. And there are people that I just am really excited to see when I go to restaurants. And I am coming up short. I've only named about 7 or 8 of them. So I know there's more out there. Anyway, lobster américain.
There's an interesting dish. This is a very creamy sauce around with the lobster, and it all comes together in a really rich dish that a lot of French people have a great appreciation for. But if you are not nuts about lobster, and that would be me, you might find some other things to do. Or crawfish done the same way.
What is lobster thermidor, Tom?
Thermidor, the word thermidor was the former name of Julius Caesar before he renamed himself. And it was for the season of that year. And that's where that comes from.
What did he like lobster? Or why did they name lobster thermidor?
Because
somebody just liked the name Thermidor.
No, it was the season for the
item. Oh, I see.
It came out in the hot months.
The hot months?
The hot months, like as in right now. It's
is that a hot time for lobster?
It is in Rome in the zeros. It must have been popular enough to get Jules. To come in.
I don't know, Tom. I can't picture lobster around Italy. Anyway, let's go to Mike.
Mike, welcome.
Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Mike, come on in.
Bringing back some ancient memories.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay.
The Chart House, 35 years ago.
People, I've noticed that for my whole career. For some reason, people are nuts over that restaurant, and they did really, really well for a long, long time.
Let's hear your memories.
I don't remember a salad bar. What I remember is a chilled bowl of salad being brought to the table.
Yeah, that was that was a spinoff of the or a way to
that was post salad bar. That was when the salad bar thing started to wane.
Yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh.
And so they had what I remember to be a very, very good bread basket. You know,
yeah, go ahead.
I mean, that was part of your theme today, it just popped into my mind. That was a good, you don't see that anymore with that variety of bread very often.
No, you don't. And I'm sure that the bread basket at the Chart House back in the 70s was nothing like what you would consider a bread basket being good today.
Correct. I'm sure.
You know, yeah.
Does Palm Court Jazz Cafe ring a bell, Tom?
Yes.
It was a place you could go and listen your basic Dixieland music.
That's place the guy was referring to earlier.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he was thinking about, I'm sure.
So Mike was the – go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you.
No.
I was going to say, was the Chart House a place where you went to go pick up chicks? Was that it? That he's got that sound in his voice?
I didn't go to pick them up, but I brought more than a couple there. I thought it was a great date place back then, you know?
I think it probably was.
Yeah. As far as hospitality goes, I don't think it gets much better than Joanne Clavigan.
Yeah, she's terrific. Every time I see her, I beg her to write her autobiography. She is fascinating beyond belief. She's done more stuff over the years. She's just fantastic.
She's been at it a long time, and she always manages to come tell you hello at the table.
Yeah, she's always there, always. I've never not seen him there.
How long has she been at it?
She goes back mid-80s. To the days where she was selling flowers in the French Quarter, and that's what first got attention to her, because she said, well, I can walk out onto the sidewalk and sell
flowers,
but the various kinds of government agencies would come and say, nope, you have to have
permits
for this and this and this and this. And she said, what? No, they're here. They grow right here in this spot, and I'm just selling them to people. And it went on and on and on and on. She managed to win that, and she also became the first person in New Orleans to come up with the idea of, on Sunday mornings, going down to some kind of newsport.
Station,
thank you. No, it was and she would drop off, 10, 15 copies of the New York Times. And people were coming like crazy on Sunday morning. They would come in and do a Sunday brunch, and they would read the New York Times right across the street from the French Market.
Hmm.
That was it. So whoever
Nice lady. Okay.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Mike. 260-6368. We only have a couple more minutes. I never did finish the lobster thing, Tom. That was
lobster deal.
Lobster
was
American.
Lobster has seasonal aspects to a degree. I mean,
Wait. So I was going to say that Graham Kerr, the Galloping Gourmet, was the one who named it Lobster American.
Yeah.
And that was on his television cooking show, which went on the air in 1960. Were they doing television shows about cooking in 1960?
Oh, yeah. Julia Child was before then.
No. According to your infallible, as we learned today, it is not from Doug.
I don't like this. You got to be perfect.
He preceded Julia Child. That's what you say here.
I don't think that's right.
I'm just
right,
telling
though.
You. That's what you have written here. Maybe you need to go back and do this again because I'm
stuck with doing it again.
The baked oyster thing, International Oyster Day. Actually, it's Macadamia Nut Day. We did not get a single call on macadamia nuts, and I understand why. Because nobody likes macadamia nuts unless you live in Hawaii, I guess. But then they like spam, too. But anyway, macadamia nut oil, I did not know such a thing existed, and I should know that because there's an oil for every nut. And
I knew somebody was going to come up with that one.
Yeah, it's a good one, so it's good to know. I'll maybe go and try to find some of that. Anyway, we have had another wild show darting off in a million different directions. So how many people came up on your list, Tom? About 20? Do you have a list down there that you've written?
I should have done that, but...
Who is your favorite? Who is your personal favorite?
My personal favorite?
Well, there were a lot of people that were named in that list that I would have trouble picking one over the other.
Oh, I see. Let's see. I find this a hard question to answer.
Well, I'm going to give that to Tommy Satanovich for his charitable work.
That's a great idea.
I think
I think about this some more to have some when we
I return. Remember that family starting really down that road with the Croatian War in 1994, when the entire front of the restaurant, the bar, was filled with like mountains of clothes that were getting sent back to Croatia.
Yeah.
And they just haven't stopped since then. So kudos to them. They are
a wonderful people.
Yes, but, there are a lot of wonderful people, but that one is, I would give him the crown because of that, or give the whole family the crown, because really they all do it together. Anyway, have a great evening. Have a good meal.
Count Basie playing as we leave the air. We'll be back tomorrow. We're always here. It's The Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2.
WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.